In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Dear friends in Christ, I was rather surprised these last few days, I must also say rather disappointed, not to find any homiletical surveys or helps on these texts. And as you know, probably most of you, it is enough to put a preacher into a state of panic or anxiety. Admittedly, I did not go into great lengths to find something, but I expected more to be written on this story as it is told in Luke or in any of the other texts in the parallel Gospels. I mention this because I believe that we are dealing here with a text of great magnitude, Christological magnitude and proportion, worth many sermons and homilies, and therefore also a lot of sermon helps. All attention here in our text is given to Jesus Christ, who exorcises the evil demons from the Gerasene man. The focus is on Christ, who represents the good versus the evil and the terrifying. He represents purity versus the mysterious and the cruel reality of evil that has seized and torments an individual. Nothing can control this person except ropes and chains that try to tie the stricken man to the ground. But it is the Lord himself who demonstrates through his own person the omnipotent power to take control of the uncontrollable. Our attention, therefore, should not be drawn away from this Christological center here in this text, although there are many themes and other occurrences that could do so. Admittedly, the imagery of sending the demons into the swine and their destruction by rushing them down the steep hill into the lake, where they were then drowned, is rather captivating. It must have been quite a sight to see them, the whole herd, rushing and plunging from the cliffs into the water. I still have my own vivid picture in my mind from my youth when I witnessed a killing of pigs when water, hot water, was simply poured over them. It killed them all almost instantaneously, but not quick enough to stifle their ear-piercing screams. Something similar, to be sure, must also have been the case with the swines as they plunged into the cliff, off the cliff and into the lake. Our attention must also not be drawn away from this Christological center to the people in the surrounding of the country of the Gerasenes, who unexpectedly asked Jesus to leave him. Now in the back of our mind we might ask, why is this so? Why are they asking Jesus, who had just performed a miracle in a way that had benefited the whole community here that deserves far better treatment? Why are they asking him to leave? Obviously, this is a missionary encounter here we are dealing with, people who have never encountered anything that is associated with Christianity. They had no opportunity now to consult the Old Testament, and therefore they considered him something like a strange or a dangerous magician, without whom their region would be far better off. We might also be distracted from our center by the moral thrust of this story. And many preachers, I'm sure, would want to exploit this theme. Return to your home, Jesus tells the Gerasene, and declare how much God has done for you. Yes, what has happened to you here to him has been an act of God, and the deeds of the Lord want to be praised. The Gerasene then becomes an example for all of us to follow and to imitate. And finally, we might be distracted from our Christological center by our own modern scientific perception of things. I'm not saying this is so, but it could be the case that this evil does not, as it is presented in the text, pertain to our life today. Few people nowadays take the existence of demons seriously, and the tendency is here today as well to use a technical term, to demythologize it and to give what has happened here new names and new meanings. But one thing here remains for sure. We can never wipe out the evil in our lives, and not that what drives it. There is no reason to be unduly confident that we are dealing in our story with a world perception long past, which could easily be explained rationally away. And so, dear friends, the pigs falling down the cliff, the people asking Jesus to leave from the area, our obligation to share with others, and our own perception of evil in our lives, all these must be seen as consequences of what Jesus himself has demonstrated here in our story. This text wants to be a testimony and a witness to the power and the authority of the person Jesus Christ. He represents the kingdom of God over all creation, the visible and the invisible, the good and the evil. They confront each other, but there is only one victor, and then all the defeated. And such a victory continues also in our lives today, as we demonstrate in the petition in the Lord's Prayer, "Deliver us from evil," and that he does. This insight, indeed, should compel us today to rejoice over a life in him and under him, that he has begun at baptism when the devil was excommunicated first. The Gerasene in Luke recognizes him as Lord, and he falls down to his knees. I prefer here Mark's version, who tells us with the word proskenuzen that he was here indeed worshipping the Lord. Yes, we must fall down before him, but we must also thank and worship him, that every knee may bow and confess him as Lord, as a text in Philippians says. Thereby we give to him what is justly his, and what this story tells us so vividly. Jesus Christ is the only authority over all evil. Thanks be to God. Amen.